too. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I thought for a minute we were disconnected. Hello, are we on again?
Good evening. Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah. Good luck to me. Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud-Tav Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to the stem cell state, where it can be healed, where it can be cleansed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem, rachamei sitkachem, tami tamleim, chasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, Yisrael, Adonai, The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, the Taurus, the bull. Together, the Pei and the Vav have a gematria of 86, the same as the Hebrew name for God Elohim. And the same for the Hebrew word for nature, Hateva. And we learn from 86, we learn from the attribute of Elohim and from the laws of nature about the laws of cause and effect. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tviakatenu, Yodea Kin Kufav, Tzadi Yotaf. And now we're going to read the four verses from the Tanakh that we read every day. The first verse is Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael Imtati v'shak Tata v'lo yirgash Od v'lo yosifu Bnei Avla La'anoto Kasher Barishna. And now we're going to read the three verses that have the same energy as this year, 5,775. First one is from Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni adiruki. The second one is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoi asher yitabe sham ushavtem. And the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yovedoro yomruayo. And we learn from all three of these verses that the illusion, the strongest illusion, is that of the angel of death. And we need to look past the veil to see the truth that the angel of death is no longer needed. And this year is a year that we can see through the veil and realize that the angel of death is no longer needed and no one has to die anymore. That dying is a free choice exercise. Now we're going to read a verse from the Parsha of Kiddushim, section 3, Pasuk 10. And we're going to start it out with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berechu Yishkin Te Bid Chilu Urchimud Chilu Ud Chilu Urchimu Yud Ke Bovav Ke B'shem Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Yosei Chawa, Azil Biorcha, Pagabeya Ribichia Mar, Leia Hai, Tiuk Muha Havraya Yo, Tikti Baili, Willakin, Nishpati Levate Eli, Im Yitka Per. Awon bayit eli bezevach umimcha adolam bezevach umimcha eino mitkaper aval mitkaper hu bedivrei Torah amai begin de divre. Torah salkin al kol karbanim de alma. Kimadiuk muha diktiv zot a Torah leola lemincha. Velachata velasham velamiluim shakil oraita lekabel bel kol karbanim de alma al haki hu vadai de kol man de ishtadal oraita Aagi de itkazar alaya on shamilela nihalaya mikol karbanin avia alfan behahu ova na honasha itkara. Rabbi Yossi was going on his way when Rabbi Chiya met him. He said to him what the scholars established about that which is written concerning Eli. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of the house of Eli shall not be purged with sacrifice or offering forever. Meaning that is not purged with sacrifice or offering, but atonement comes through the words of Torah. Why? It is because the words of Torah are superior to all the sacrifices. As has been accepted, it is written, this is the Torah of the burnt offering, of the meal offering, and of the sin offering, and of the guilt offering. This indicates that the Torah is equal to all sacrifices in the world. He replies, this is surely so, for even if a penalty of hell, heaven is decreed against he who toils in Torah, the penalty is canceled because the study of the Torah is better for him than all the sacrifices and better than all the offerings. Let us truly realize what is being said in this pasuk. The study of Torah cleanses decrees of harsh judgment, more so than even the bringing of sacrifices when the temple existed. The Zohar was written or taught by Rabbi Shimon while the temple existed prior to its destruction. Does it mean that the negative actions that one does becomes cleansed by the Torah study one does? The answer is no. There is still the judgment of reincarnation. There is a purification that takes place through Torah study, but it does not truly remove the negative actions one has done, which are still hanging around as part of the law of the boomerang. In the Talmud, there is a discussion of this decree against the house of Eli. The discussion looks at the actions of the two of the descendants and their length of life, which were relatively short, as the decree promises. Yet one lives significantly longer to do his Torah study on top of his charity, while the other gave significant charity but did not study Torah as well. Who lived longer? The one who studied Torah. Are there any questions? Our class tonight can be found on the Hashem website in row 11, second column from the left, the advanced reincarnation classes. And when you get to the page, scroll down to class number 75. It's almost at the bottom. And that's the class we're going to start tonight. That starts at the point where it says the effect of sin on Adam's whole soul, chapter 32, section 1. In this chapter, we will explain the statement of the sages, which says, it was taught, Michael travels the world in one flight, Gabriel in two, Eliyahu in four, etc. We have already explained the matter of Elijah's four flights in earlier discussions. Before the sin, Adam had nefesh, ruach, neshama from Yetzirah, Asiyah, and Bariyah. On top of this, he had nefesh, ruach, and neshama from Malchut, from Tiferet, and from Bina of Atzilut. But later it states that he also had chachma of Atzilut. Here it shows that the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama of Adam correspond to Asiyah, Yetzirah, and Biriyah, and that they themselves are roofed in by Atzilut. Accordingly, by doing root work in Atzilut, one can rectify all of the levels below without having to focus on them. Moreover, as we have also explained previously, all the souls were included in Adam, except for the completely new souls, since he had yet to merit them. Therefore, they were not included in him. My commentary. As we have learned, Adam has 613 parts of his soul, and Chava has 617 parts of her soul. And a soul is both male and female in unity together. Therefore, there are 1,230 parts of a soul. This also applies to the body as well. In Adam and Chava, each human potential being exists as a component of these parts. Some of these parts have psychic abilities greater than the norm. As part of those psychic abilities, they sensed or knew that Adam and Chava were going to go against the specific suggestion called a mitzvah that Hashem gave to Adam, and he told Chava. When he told Chava, he added a fence around the mitzvah to protect Chava, or perhaps that is his understanding of the mitzvah. In any event, this fence left room for the potential negative to become actualized as negativity. Those souls with the psychic ability to know that this is incorrect left these entities known as Adam and Chava and returned to a higher unrevealed state of consciousness. The result is certain parts of Adam and Chava did not participate in the mistake. Yet they actually, by leaving, they have the tikkun of teaching psychic abilities to the rest of humanity. This means they need to reincarnate throughout the generations to elevate the sparks that people from using and knowing all of their abilities. Continuing, after he sinned with the tree of knowledge, limbs fell off him everywhere. Everywhere he went, as the sages say, it happened to him as it happened to Jephthah from Gilead, because of the sin of his daughter, as it says. They buried him in the cities of Gilead. It does not say the city, singular, of Gilead. My commentary. It is recommended that one read the chapters 11 and 12 of the book of Judges. In those two chapters, we learn about the victory of Jephthah over the children of Amnon and the unnecessary vow of Jephthah that carried him to effect a human sacrifice, chas v'shalom. This is a hint that Adam and Chava did not have free choice in what they did, eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, too early in the day. There is a time for right action, and other times are not the right time, even if the action may be right. This is a lesson relating to righteousness. Logic will never be the tool to become righteous. Thus, all the souls that were included in the limbs of the soul of Adam fell off him, once he sinned, into the depths of the Klipot, each one to its appropriate level. However, the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama of Atzilut, called Zehira Ila'ah, the supernal glow by the Zohar, did not, heaven forbid, fall into the Klipot. However, the level of Ruach and Neshama were removed from Adam once he sinned, and they flew upward. The Nefesh of Atzilut flew above him, but it did not completely leave him, as mentioned before. Chanoch, after he merited his nefesh, ruach, and neshama of Bria, Yetzirah, and Atziah, also merited the level of neshama of Atzilut, which was removed from Adam when he sinned. Now we will discuss the nefesh of Adam from the world of Atzilut, which remained and hovered above him. When Cain and Abel, Adam's sons, were born, they received the level of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama of Asiya, Yetzirah, and Briah, as well as the level of Nefesh of Atzilut, which was previously their father's. As is known, every soul has levels called Or Makif, surrounding light, and Or Panimi, internal light. Part of these souls were left in Adam, and part went to his sons. The details will be elaborated. When Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, converted, he merited the nefesh of Atzilut that had been given to Cain, but just on the level of Or Panimi. So it is written, Heber, the Kenite, appeared from Kenites, hinting to Cain. Spiritually, this means that Jethro separated the negative energy in the portion of the Cain root that was allotted to him. This idea is in line with the story that this verse is a part of. God told Saul to destroy the evil nation of Amalek. This is a great step to eradicating the evil of the original sin from the world, as the worst of that bad energy is embodied in Amalek. Saul sent messages to the descendants of Jethro to split away from them so that they would not be destroyed when he waged war with Amalek. Since Jethro set his offspring on the path of negating evil, they deserved to be saved. We will explain this is in its proper this is in its proper place. Nadav and Avihu took the Or Makif of the Nefesh of Atzilut of Adam, which had been given to his son Cain. And I am adding, the above information is necessary to realize how the souls incarnate to complete tikkun that was left incomplete in a previous lifetime. Does anybody have any questions? I have just completed section 1 of chapter 32. From Pinchas to Elijah, section 2. Regarding Pinchas' birth, it says, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, took a daughter of Potiel for a wife, and she bore him Pinchas. On this the sages say, Potiel, this is Joseph, Shepit-Pit, that he controlled, meaning tampered is a more literal translation. In the context, controlled fits more. The idea is that he controlled himself through tampering, shifting the energies of the psyche from thinking that what feels good is good, and knowing that only what God considers good is good. His Yetzer Hara also, this is Jethro, Shepitim, who fattened calves for idol worship. In the simple explanation, one of the girl's parents was from Joseph and one from Jethro. Now we will see that this means on a deeper level and why Providence worked it out to be like that. This is the secret. When Pinchas was born, he incorporated two soul sparks. This is the meaning of Potiel, which is similar to Tipin, drops, for he was from two soul drops. One spark from the root of Joseph, and the second spark from the side of Jethro. This level that incorporates those two souls is called Pinchas. Two explanations of Potiel are one. Through the secret of the Pinchas Tikkun, they unite and come to fruition. The Talmud draws parallels between Shmirat Chabrit, guarding the covenant, the quality of Joseph, and faith, the opposite of idolatry. This is from the book of Sota in the Talmud. They both relate to the Sefirah of Yesod, the root of Joseph, and greatly connected to Jethro, and I betroth you to me in faith, and you shall know God. A verse from Haggai. Or from Hagiga. The covenant of faith between God and his people is... I'm sorry, I jumped too far ahead. The covenant of faith between God and his people is like the covenant of marriage. Therefore, were they coined an adulterous woman in the prophet's parable when they went after other deities. They do, however, start from opposite ends of the spectrum. Joseph stood the test and was circumcised as an infant, always guarding the covenant. Yitro started out not only as a pagan, but as the chief priest of idolatry of the entire world. From this place of darkness, he came to recognize monotheism. The relationship between Joseph and Yitro is that of the classic archetypes of a tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva. The relationship between Joseph and Yitro is that of the classic archetypes. Again, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. The relationship between Joseph and Jethro is that of the classic archetypes of a tzaddik. one perfectly righteous, and a Baal Teshuvah, the penitent. Jethro was a Geir, a proselyte, who is equated to the Baal Teshuvah. The Talmud has a discussion about who is greater, but all agree that they are mutually beneficial and absolutely necessary for the world's perfection. My commentary. The word ger, is usually translated as a convert. There is a lengthy discussion as to whether Jethro converted or not. Clearly, his children did, as the book of Samuel refers to the Kenites. These are descendants of Cain through the DNA, the sperm of Jethro, as taught in the writings of the Arizal. The Baal Teshuvah literally translates as head or master of the return to Hashem. The Torah teaches us to honor the Geir and not to abuse the Geir, while teaching that the Baal Teshuvah is to be treated exactly as one who did not need to do Teshuvah, who did not need to return to Hashem as he was always there. Pinchas is special in that he incorporated both. This is hinted to in the way the Zohar divides his name. Pinchas, the face of piety. Pin hints to the Joseph aspect of Shmirat HaBrit, causing a shining of the divine countenance on the person. Chas hints to the pity extended to Jethro to accept his repentance and fix the damage caused by his idolatry. A thinking person can understand an opposite way to align them. This is no contradiction. The Torah is spiritual and unlimited and bears opposite perspectives at the very same time. My commentary. This is my commentary. As Rabbi indicates, it could be that Pen hints to Jethro, while Chas hints to Joseph. How can there be opposites? This can be very confusing. This is why the sages teach this, that truth is relative. The sages teach that there can have 70 faces of Torah, meaning there are 70 levels of understanding. And when there are exact opposites, as described in this paragraph, between these two understandings, we just need to rise to the next level, the next higher level, which will reconcile this perceived conflict and unify the truth of both. These innate soul ties were prepared from above to make Pinchas ready to receive the souls of Nadav and Avihu. Presently, it will be revealed that he acquired them through an act of zealousness, a transcending quality that draws a great encompassing light that unites opposites. Here, too, the correlation can be understood diametrically. And I am adding, this is referring to the teaching related to the reincarnation of Pinchas with Nadav and Avihu, as will be explained below. Nadav was from Netzach, and Abihu from Hod. Both were from Cain. Again, the above dynamic manifests through them. Netzach is absolute victory in eternity, one who never makes mistakes. Hod is submission and admittance of one who realizes his mistakes and corrects them. Pinchas ascended to his category through his zealousness. Along with these souls, Pinchas had an extra yud added to his name, the letter that is written as a point. It represents the root idea that includes all the details that flow out from it. Interestingly, Yud is the first letter of both Joseph and Yitro. Furthermore, with a Yud, Pinchas equals 208, equivalent to the gematria of Isaac. This number is also 8 times the tetragrammaton, representing transcendence. It is the marked quality of Isaac, who was not totally of this world. Pinchas ascended to his category through his zealousness. He therefore became Elijah, who did not die, and ascended straight to heaven. A person can also exercise zealousness in himself to banish bad qualities. This helps bridge the gap and unite things inside him that seem to clash. My commentary. The Zohar teaches that Isaac represents the soul after correction. Therefore, we learn that the gematria of 208 indicates a point after correction. Rashi hints to the teaching of the Zohar when he says that Isaac was not of this world. Isaac did die, or on the altar with Abraham, and then later returned to be resurrected as Isaac. Isaac became the first resurrected human being. This is also why the Torah never tells us that Rivka died, since she represents the body after correction. The Torah hints to this by telling us that her housemaid, Devorah, representing an aspect of judgment, did die. Do not be surprised how the spark of Jethro could combine with the spark of Joseph. It is already known that Joseph is in Yesod, from which flows the drops of seed from all Chasadim and all Givurot. It is there that they intermingle. Thus, it should not make you wonder how the soul spark of Yitro, which is from another root, could mix with the soul spark from Joseph. By nature, his soul is given to mingle with other roots. So we find Pinchas received a soul spark from Yitro, which was the level of Or Panimi of the Nefesh of Adam, from Atzilut. After that, Nadav and Avihu died, because they brought the unauthorized incense offering. And when Pinchas killed Zimri, he merited the souls of Nadav and Avihu, which are from the Or Makif of Adam of Atzilut. My commentary. It is very important to understand the concepts in Kabbalah of Or Makif, surrounding light, and Or Panimi, inner light. Light is a purifying aspect that also implies fulfillment and correction. Surrounding light represents potential in all of its aspects. Inner light represents fulfillment in all of its aspects. Surrounding light becomes inner light through the actions of mitzvot, when done with accurate and correct consciousness. The action of doing a mitzvah creates a spiritual body that is referred to as an incomplete angel. It waits to be completed. When the mitzvah is done with the correct kavanah, intention, which is of the mind, then the spiritual bodies that are created become complete, and the minds of these angelic beings become complete and are available to support the future actions of this person in his service to Hashem. Prior to their completion, these angelic beings are part of the negative system and are tools of the negative side to implement and create your own chaos. There are some teachings in the Kabbalah that hint to the idea that these types of angelic beings are your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, your good inclination and your evil inclination. This was possible because he already possessed a spark from the root of Jethro, and it completed the Nefesh of Atzilut within him. Since he now possessed both the Or Panimi and the Or Makif, even though Joseph is given to mingle with other souls, this root specifically paired with Yitro because they are closely knit. However, the Orpanimi entered him as an actual Gilgul when he was born, whereas the Ormakif came to him in the secret of the Ibur after he was born and grew up. There is another matter as a result of this difference. The soul that comes to a man when he is born is an actual Gilgul, as we have learned earlier. Even if it is the combination of two sparks, as in the case of Pinchas, who had a spark of Joseph and a spark from Yitro, nothing else is required to make them work together. My commentary. We learn from this teaching about names of people. The name demonstrates the root combination of the souls that are being completed. When a name can be parsed, it is an indication of the more than one spark that is now working together to be corrected. When a child is given two names, then there are two soul sparks within that child, within that soul, that are both being corrected. This is the minhag of the Ashkenazim, while the Sephardi usually limit themselves to one name only. However, in the case of a soul that comes in the secret of Ibur after birth, while the nefesh of Nadav and Avihu that came to Pinchas, another spark must accompany it. Furthermore, this spark must be new to the world and not a reincarnation. Such a spark joined with the nefesh of Nadav and Avihu that came in Ibur to unify it with the nefesh of Pinchas, who was an actual reincarnation. Another new soul had to come in Ibur in Pinchas, called Elijah the Tishbi. Therefore, another new soul had to come in Ibur in Pinchas, called Elijah the Tishbi, from the inhabitants of Gilead and from the root of God, which was a new soul at that time. This was in order to combine the nefesh of Nadav and Avihu with the nefesh of Pinchas itself, a Gilgul from the time of his birth. He also required an additional new soul in order to unite the new soul, called Elijah the Tishbi, with the rest of the older souls, that is the nefesh of Pinchas, and that of Nadav and Avihu. Therefore, he received an additional soul called Elijah from the root of Benjamin, mentioned in the verse. And Jereshiah and Elijah the Zichri were the sons of Jeroham. As Elijah himself wrote to the sages that he is from the children of Israel, of Rachel, the mother of Benjamin. We explain this matter at the end of this discussion. Thus we find that four levels were in Pinchas. The first was that of the nefesh of Pinchas, with which he was born. A single soul, even though it was the combination of two drops, one from Joseph and one from Yitro. The second level was the nefesh of Nadav and Avihu, which came in the secret of Ibur, and is also called one soul, as is known from the Zohar. Nadav and Avihu are two limbs of one body. The third was a nefesh, called Elijah the Tishbi from the root of God, and the fourth level was Elijah from the root of Benjamin. This, then, is the secret of what the sages say. Michael is one, Elijah is four, and understand this well. The four souls of Pinchas became Elijah. Propelled by those souls, he is able to fly the whole world, span all of existence. Netzach and Hod are called the two pillars. Along with this, they are known as Yachin and Boaz, the outstanding pillars of the temple, which include the entire universe of existence. Energized by them, Elijah supports the universe and is at liberty to traverse it. Michael is the angel of Chesed, which is singular in nature. He is as one beam that spans the spectrum in one shot. Gabriel is from Giburah, the dividing force. Thus it takes him as if two leaps. Elijah starts from this world of separateness. His four jumps are then really the fastest. The rabbis continued to say that an angel of death springs the whole world eight times. Death is the separation of all separation. He so takes the longest. Each stage mentioned is a step more involved in the division than the one before it. This is represented by them constantly doubling. That's the end of section two. Any questions? Nadav and Avihu, chapter 32, section 3. Later in history, when the incident of the daughter of Jephthah of Gilead occurs, they, Elijah and Jephthah, were both punished. For as the sages say, Jephthah was a judge, and he did not want to come to Elijah, who was in the guise of Pinchas, according to Rashi's commentary, to annul his vow. Elijah did not want to come to him, for he said, the one who is suffering must come to the doctor. And so between the two of them, the daughter of Jephthah went to live in seclusion in the mountains. Jephthah was a judge, and he did not want to come to Elijah to annul his vow. Is that a right thing for him to do? Let's discuss it as we read on. I am adding, to understand this aspect, it is recommended to read chapters 11 and 12 and of the book of Judges. In these chapters, you will learn about the roughneck judge Jephthah and why his daughter became a human sacrifice. Jephthah, who was directly involved in the incident, was punished, and as a result, everywhere he went, he lost limbs. As it says, they buried him in the cities of Gilead. In the plural, Elijah was punished by the departure of the Shekhinah, as the sages say on the verse, and Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, was the supervisor over them in former times, for God was with him, which is talking about the Pinchas. Thus we see he was the supervisor over them, but no longer. After the nephesh of Nadav and Avihu that had been in him Bor was removed, it later reincarnated into Samuel the prophet, as we will explain. This is the secret of what the sages say. The Vav of Briti Shalom, my covenant of peace, is written in the Torah scroll cut. The form of the Vav is a vertical line. It is written as if chopped up, not going straight to the bottom, but interrupted by space. This demonstrates a lack in the word of the Vav, which is Shalom, peace. The fact that Pinchas and Jephthah did not go to each other shows a lack of peace between them. Vav equals 6, the Yesod dynamic. In it itself is the letter of Yesod, which unites male and female, and that is called Shalom. They also say in the Zohar that the Yud of Pinchas is written in Numbers 25:11 small. Both indicate that something is lacking in Pinchas. In this case, the lack manifested itself in the future. This did not at all detract from the power of free choice by Pinchas. It just comes to point out a coming test. These letters Yud and Vav, through which the lack is expressed, are the mutual letters shared by Joseph and Yitro, the batteries of Pinchas. As mentioned, they are the male active letters of the Tetragrammaton. The defect is then in them implies a test that involves a lack of action. This is exactly what happened. Pinchas was passive in not going to annul the vow of Jephthah. The mistake of colossal, towering tzaddikim, such as Pinchas, are not to be taken simply. The mistakes of colossal, towering tzaddikim, such as Pinchas, are not to be taken simply. They are humans in a state of complete ego nullification, and do every single thought, word, and deed solely for the glory of God. A simple way of understanding the issue is that the lack of yesod, brit energy of the people, caused an unwarranted, out-of-character lack in Pinchas, preventing him from getting up and doing what he was supposed to. A similar idea is expressed by Moses hitting the rock. My commentary. This relates to the spiritual law that a leader does not have free will. He manifests the quantum consciousness, the desire of the group that he leads. This was true of Moshe, and it also is true of Pinchas in this situation. They were expected to teach the right course of action, yet the people suffered the result along with Moshe and along with Pinchas, since they were unwilling to learn and unwilling to change. Thus, in the incident with Zimri, he merited the ibur of Nadav and Abihu, as mentioned in the Zohar, but he lost this ibur as a result of the sin of the daughter of Jephthah. That is why the vav is cut to represent the sefirah of Yesod, which is called Briti Shalom. It was actually cut when he lost the Shekhinah and the Ibur of Nadav and Abihu. The withholding of proper action caused a cut in Yesod, expressing its energy to reveal divinity. This in itself is an intrinsic lack of Shalom, for it is actually a name of God and represents his essential nature. When godliness is manifested, there is harmony and shalom. My commentary. Pinchas Eliyahu is a tzaddik at this point, so why would he not go to Jephthah and annul the vow? Eliyahu was thinking that he was the high priest, and Hashem's honor required Jephthah to come to him. Yet to save a life, there's always precedence, even over the honor of Hashem. By not going to Jephthah, the daughter of Jephthah died as a human sacrifice, God forbid. Clearly an abomination, according to the Torah, but not an abomination to Jephthah, the unlearned ruffian who hangs out with roughnecks. Thus, from that time onward, all that remained was a spark root from the root of Joseph, for the Ibur of Nadav and Abihu went to Samuel, and the spark of Yithro was removed from him to reincarnate into Hiel, the Bethlehemite, who was born at that time and later rebuilt Jericho. This was because the Ibur of Nadav and Abihu, Elijah from the tribe of God and Elijah from Binyamin, was not principal souls of Pinchas, but on loan in the secret of Ibur. Therefore, the sin which resulted because of the daughter of Jephthah did not blemish them, and even the spark from the drop of Joseph was not that involved in the sin, just the spark from Yithro. This was because the spark from Yithro, which came from Cain, when it went to Jethro, had the name Comer, meaning a non-Jewish priest, who fattens cows for idol worship. Therefore, it was the primary cause of the sin, and therefore it was removed, and it reincarnated into him, the Bethlehemite, in Hebrew, Beit Ha'ili. Thus, the letters of Hiel are the same letters of Elijah, when the He of Elijah is switched with the Chet of Hiel from the letters of the Aleph Bet, or the Aleph Chet Ayin He pronunciation grouping. All letters whose sounds originate from the same place in the throat are grouped together and are considered interchangeable. Teaching of the Etz Chaim. Even Ha'ili is the same letters. Again, without the Vav. This is the secret of the house of Ha'ili, that is, the Beit Elijah, from the house of the dwelling of Elijah, since Elijah dwelled in the body of Pinchas, who was from the spark of the drop of Jethro. Hence, the main body was that of Pinchas and not Elijah. It was just that it was called the house of the dwelling of Elijah. Hiel was an important man to whom the house of King Ahab and Elijah used to come. The sages say that Hiel was an important man into whose house King Ahab and Elijah used to come. However, because of the sin of Jephthah's daughter, this caused him to build Jericho, which is similar in nature. The sin of the daughter of Jephthah had to do with a vow, and this sin was a violation of the vow made by Joshua not to rebuild Jericho. There is great depth to this. The lack of annulling a vow that should have been voided leads to the breaking of a vow. Anyone who adds, in the wrong place really, subtracts. A teaching of the Talmud. Since the city of Jericho was father-in-law of Moses, went up from the city of date palms, which is Jericho, Hiel, who is from the root of Cain, wanted to rebuild it. Our time is up, and it's going to take a good 15, 20 minutes to finish this. And it's right in the middle of the section, so I'm thinking we'll just start the section over next week. And we'll add to this section, because chapter 32 has more sections than just number 3. So are there any questions? Tomorrow night is questions and answers at 7 p.m. Please send me questions by email, by text, by telephone, any way you want. Send me questions to answer, because there's no revelation of light until there's a question that will reveal it. Thursday at 7 o'clock is a Zohar class. Saturday at 7 o'clock, another Zohar class, but in the new frame of the new week of energy. Sunday morning at 10:30, there is a class continuing our preparation for Lag BaOmer, which is taking place next week. And Lag BaOmer will be an all-night study. Monday at 7 o'clock, we will complete the Taf letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will finish this section and move on in our advanced reincarnation classes. Our normal classes will take place even on Lag BaOmer, but we will start our Lag BaOmer connection at 11 o'clock on the night of Lag BaOmer. Are there any questions before I wish you all Shalom? Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you.